Psalm 61. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to read just a few verses here, and then we're going to talk it down. Now, so that you'll know this, Psalm 61, Psalm 55, Psalm 77, Psalm 102, Psalm 142 and 143. These are messages that are psalms that David wrote and prayers that David wrote when he was being overwhelmed. I'm going to review a little bit, let you know what that means, and then we'll dive right into tonight's message. Psalm 61, verse 1, "Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Now, Psalm 61, I believe, holds a wonderful, marvelous formula for knowing what to do when you're overwhelmed. And we're going to break it down in the weeks to come. But I want you to notice that David said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Now let's go over to Psalm 143. Psalm 143, again, is a prayer. And I mentioned in our Sunday school hour that some of you independent fundamental Baptists are going to be disappointed in your preacher, but I do sometimes use a prayer book. I thought that was for Catholics and Lutherans. You know, there is in the book of Psalms many prayers that we should pray verbatim. They're inspired prayers. Now, if God saw fit to preserve for our usage prayers, why aren't we using them? And so I want you to read it with me. Okay? This is what I do, and we're going to do it this way, and if I don't forget to do it, I want you to read it, and you'll read it like it's Scripture. Sometimes in our chapel service, we'll sing a song that's really a prayer song. I mean, if you listen to the words, it's a prayer song. So I'll have the kids sing it, and then sometimes I'll say, "Now, I want us to bow our heads and bow our hearts, and I want you to sing this song as a prayer to God and think about what you're saying." So I'm not going to ask you to do that now. But I'm hoping that between the beginning of this message and the end of this message, this will go from being a portion of Scripture to a heart prayer for you in your life and in the future. So we're going to read this in unison, okay? Now, to help us stay together, when you see a punctuation of any kind, it's a good place to hesitate, okay? Just a bit. And that's how we do it in school. It helps us keep together. Psalm 143. Ready? "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." Well, that was good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd give us, Lord, an understanding of this psalm.
help us to know when to use it, when to activate it into service. Thank you that it is here in the pages of your word. But Lord, I think too often it lies there when it needs to be put into service. And so Lord, you provided for us a wonderful tool here in Psalm 143 to help us, Lord, in times when we are overwhelmed, to know what to pray and how to pray. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a great lesson. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me quickly take about 4 or 5 minutes and review this morning's message for the sake of those of you that were not here. David, King David, is the only one who uses in the Bible the word overwhelmed. The word overwhelmed goes way beyond just the fact that we've gotten into a period of time where we've got a lot on our plate, a lot on our schedule. Am I going to say, how am I going to get this done? I just feel like I'm overwhelmed. It's much deeper than that. It's much darker than that. Listen carefully. The word, the Hebrew word here, overwhelmed, comes from a word which means to shroud or to clothe or to be covered. And it also has the idea of darkness. And so we're talking about a time period where we are shrouded or clothed or overcome. We are covered up in darkness. The word means to languish, to cover over, to fail, to faint, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. We talked about how there are Bible illustrations, men of God that were facing these type of situations. Moses, certainly Elijah, Job, Jesus even, I believe 3 specific times of his ministry, faced this type of a situation. Peter, Paul certainly references these times in his life in the letters he writes to the churches. I'm not going to go through it again tonight, get the tape, but folks, listen to me. Pastors, there's 3 men I mentioned this morning I'm praying for and working with and encouraging right now that's in a time of being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I'm talking about good men. I'm not talking about sinful men. I'm talking about good men. I'm talking about men that are in the will of God, doing right. But you know what? All of a sudden, they are encompassed by darkness. There's a satanic orchestrated attack that has come into their life. There's a darkness that they are in. And God's people go through. It's just not preachers and missionaries. It's God's people. I've personally gone through these times. Anybody that's gone through the Christian life very long probably have gone through something like this. You say, have I, Brother Jerry? This is what we covered. I can't go through all the verses. What are the symptoms? Well, in Psalm chapter 55, the symptoms of this are clearly diagnosed or are given to us so that we can properly diagnose when we are being overwhelmed by darkness. By the way, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So this does not come from God. You have to understand that, and I'm going to help you with that tonight. The symptoms. What happened to David? Psalm 55:1. He became convinced that he was divinely forsaken. He began to cry out for God to stop hiding himself, to please hear him again, to reveal himself to him again. So people that go through this become almost convinced that God has forsaken them. Psalm 55:2 talks about David's utter sadness and despair. Now the world would call this depression. God calls it being overwhelmed. And let me just say this. Thank God that as a Christian, I believe everybody goes through this, but as a Christian, you have God to help you. I got to thinking about this afternoon. I feel for people that are lost, because Satan overwhelms them too, but they have no spiritual help. They have no indwelling spirit. They have no understanding of Scripture. And that's why you're seeing the destruction and the destructive lifestyles that people are going into. You know what? They're doing whatever they can to try to get away from this, to try to find a way out of it, and they're being destroyed. That's why we need to get the light of the glorious gospel to them. Becoming convinced you're divinely forsaken, utter sadness and despair. Psalm 55:9-15, you begin to believe that everyone's against you, everyone hates you, nobody understands you. Also,
physical and psychological maladies, physical attacks, things happening in the body that there is no doctor explanation for. Darkness that touches your mind, that touches your soul. Psychological means simply to have to do with the mind and the emotion. Sleeplessness, Psalm 77:4, a desire to flee, a desire to hide. And I do want to go back and read those verses. Let me read them to you. David concludes by saying, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." And I talked about how when Christians get into this, if they do not know the Bible way to deal with it, this is where you see Christians going off the deep end. This is where you see people getting out of God's will, cutting and running. They seem like they're fine. They're pressing forward. They're attending church. They're still serving. But they're in this darkness. They're being overwhelmed and they don't know what to do. I think husbands leave their wives during these times. I think wives leave their husbands during these times. I think that people, ministers, resign churches during these times. I think missionaries leave the mission field during this time. I'm not saying everyone that leaves is for that reason. I think good Sunday school teachers and good bus captains, I'm not talking about just stepping away from a position for the right reason, but sometimes step completely out of church and make wild, big, life-changing decisions. I'm talking about moving states away. I'm talking about, you know, I just got to get away. Now, folks, listen to me. You can't run from the darkness. The answer's not to run from the darkness. God has allowed you to go through, to go into this, but He desires for you to go through this. And I made this statement, and then I'm going to get right into the message tonight because we got a lot to cover. But I believe the picture of this that we get to see visibly, that actually happened physically on this earth, was when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and the 3 hours of darkness enveloped the earth. You know what? Folks, let me give you this. Jesus, during the crucifixion, had to go through this darkness. And we are to be crucified with Christ. This is part of the crucifixion process in your life. But God also wants you to go through it. Isn't it interesting? I mentioned this morning. We talked about becoming convinced that we're divinely forsaken, that out of the darkness, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe if we're going to discover the crucified life, then God has to allow us to go through the darkness. Now that, if you'll remember at the crucifixion, this is where Jesus took the sins of Himself upon the whole world, and this is where God, the Bible says, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. And this is where, let me just say this, Satan had his time, had his way. Okay, God ceased to be his father for that period of time and saw only sin and unloaded the wrath, the eternal wrath for all of us onto his son during that time. That was darkness, folks. But you know what? Jesus didn't stay in the darkness. He went through the darkness and came out victorious on the other side. And so these things happen. These things happen to Christians. This is not something Christians want to talk about. This is not something most people feel comfortable talking about. I don't feel comfortable about talking about it. If you've gone through these times, you know, you're almost afraid. I think Christians sometimes have tried to share this and they get preached at or they get put down or they, you know, as I mentioned this morning, I heard one preacher say, if you're depressed, you're living in sin. And, well, there must be something wrong with me. I must be doing wrong. Listen, sometimes God just allows you to go through the darkness. Now, Psalm 61 has the answers. We're going to go back there real quickly, and I'm just going to then introduce tonight's message. But Psalm 61, we covered one step this morning. I had to get into a little bit of the cure this morning because I didn't want to leave you where I left you. But Psalm 61:1 says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." And here we see David, I believe, prostrate. I believe we see David down. I believe we see David
broken. I think David's come to the end of himself. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And what that means is that David says there's nothing here on earth or in me that I have to help me. I am at my wit's end. God, I'm pleading to you. Please, I've got to hear from you. Now, I believe God allows Christians to go through this, number one, to break us. We need to be broken. God is allowing this time in your life to break you. We went to Judges and talked about Gideon and the light inside the earthen vessels and how the light wouldn't shine until the earthen vessel was shattered. And folks, we have to be broken as Christians. I'm not talking about just once. I'm talking about often in your Christian life. If you're going to be effectively used for God, you must be broken. You must be broken. I must be broken. I said this morning, God bless the Christian that stops resisting the breaking and begins to pray for the breaking. Begins to pray to be broken. Because the only way that I can be put into higher service for God is by being broken again and afresh and anew. Amen. I talked about Brother Tim talking to me at break time yesterday and in the Marine Corps and in boot camp, and he said there's boot camp is for one specific purpose, and that is to break you. And every single one of those soldiers, those men that want to be Marines, have to be broken. Can I say this? If you're going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, you have to be broken. You have to be broken. You cannot serve God with a stiff back. You cannot serve God in pride and arrogance. You cannot serve God in self-sufficiency. You have to come to the end of you before God can come and fill you and use you and the light can shine through as the light ought to shine through. So the darkness comes for that purpose. God is trying to break us. Now, the second thing that we see in Psalm chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to go to Psalm 143, is that David, first of all, he knelt down. He knelt down. He humbled himself. He allowed God to break him. Number two, he began to cry out to God. Now, when I studied this and was developing this in the past stretch of time, God's been dealing with my heart on this, I began to search out all of the Psalms and all of the places where David addresses this process of being overwhelmed. Now, you say, I would certainly counsel you to do this, and I think most Christians would counsel you in the darkness to pray. But there, I feel like I'm there. I think I'm going through what you're talking about. What do I do? And somebody says, "Well, brother, pray." And you know the honest truth is, when you're in that kind of a situation, you don't even know what to pray, and I'm not even sure we know how to pray. So I'm going to help you. I'm convinced that Psalm 143 was placed in the Bible to help us to know how to pray when we're being overwhelmed. I mentioned this. Let me see if I can get you to start using the same prayer book I use. I mentioned this morning. I was at a church several months ago, and there was a man that was called on to pray, and he said, "Brother so-and-so, would you pray?" And he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And he continued to pray the Lord's Prayer. Verbatim, got to the amen, said amen. And that was the prayer. And I said this morning that was refreshing to me. There's something in us independent Baptists that want to say, wait, what's he doing? What's he doing? Why is he praying that? Maybe because when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he said, "Pray," what's the next word? "Thus." There's nothing wrong with praying verbatim from the Word of God. Can I say this? If you have an inspired prayer that was given for a specific situation, you can improve on that. Well, here's an inspired prayer that's delivered directly from God, but I think I'm going to pray my own. There's nothing wrong with praying your own. I'm just saying, I think we ignore things that God has given us to help us to know how to pray when we don't know how to pray.
And Psalm 143 is that. Now, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to ask you to do this. And if you don't do this, I'm not going to fuss with you. I'm not going to give you a test or anything. But I believe this is the type of prayer that you are going to need to access. And I'm going to encourage you to memorize Psalm 143. Now, if you go to Blessed Hope Baptist School, I'm going to do a little bit more than encourage you. I'm going to require you. Brother Reisner, we're going to teach our kids. Going into September 2nd, I want this to be taught. I want our young people to know this prayer. I want them to be able to close their eyes, get on their knees, and say these words to God verbatim, and not just memorize it to the point where they are mentally struggling to remember the next word, but to learn it to the point where it can flow from their heart and flow from their soul. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a reason for this, and there's a reason it's been given to us. Now, let me get into tonight's message. Tonight's message, what do you do when you're overwhelmed? You learn to pray Psalms 143. You learn to pray Psalm 143. Let's go down through this psalm, and let me just point out some things in this prayer. And by the way, this is a prayer. This is a prayer. Psalm 143, let me first of all say this. This is a prayer that's based on God's faithfulness and mercy, not on our worthiness to be heard. Now notice verses 1 and 2. They're very, very important. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Now notice verse 2. He goes on to clarify what he means. "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." You know what David's saying? I'm coming to you at this time in my life, Lord, overwhelmed. And I'm not coming to you today, Lord, asking you to hear me based on my worthiness. As a matter of fact, I'm asking you, please, God, do not enter into judgment upon thy servant. Don't look at me or at me or in me for any reason that I ought to be heard. I'm coming to you based on your righteousness and your faithfulness and asking you to hear me on that basis. Now, why is that huge? That's huge because that's how we ought to always come to God. But I guarantee you, people that are overwhelmed, that is one of the reasons God's allowing you to be overwhelmed. So we can get down to the place where we figure out that there's not one good thing in us that allows us to stand before God and ask anything. It's on God's faithfulness and it's on God's righteousness that we, listen, that's the only basis we can stand to make any request to God. So when you get overwhelmed, one of the reasons God's allowing you to be overwhelmed is so that you can get over you. Amen. Amen. We need to come to the end of ourselves. We need to stop demanding of God because we need this and we deserve this. You want what you deserve? By the way, you know what? This will take care of this. Well, God just hasn't been good to me. If you're not burning in hell right now, God's been awful good to you. If you're not burning in hell right now, God has been extremely good to you. Get over it. God hasn't been fair to me. You want God to be fair with you? Is that what you want? Because I'll tell Him. Just let me know. I mean, turn it into a prayer request. Brother Jerry, just pray that God would start being fair with me, and I will pray that. I'll help you out. I don't want to be near you while I'm praying that. I don't want to be in the same building when I pray that for you. I'm not sure I want to be in the same county when I pray that for you. But forget that nonsense. You see, folks, I think God allows us. Remember, God does not overwhelm us. God allows us to be overwhelmed. It is darkness that is shrouding you. It's not light. God has opened the hedge a bit, and He's allowed Satan a certain access to you for a certain amount of time. You know why? Because it's during those times that we will find God at a level we've never found Him before in our lives.
He's not doing this to destroy you. He's doing this to help you. And God wants you to go through it. So number one, it's a prayer based on God's faithfulness and mercy. I'm going to invent a word, I think, which is always fun to do. But never ask God for an audience or an answer based on your deservability. Never ask God for an audience or an answer based on your deservability. When you come in this time of being overwhelmed, you ought to come saying, God, listen, I need something, and I'm asking you not to enter into judgment upon your servant. In other words, what you're saying is, God, I don't need your judgment right now. I'm not asking you to evaluate me and find any good or find any reason why you ought to hear me. I come just because I know that you're faithful and I know that you're righteous and I know that I need you. And boy, when you come in on that introduction, I guarantee you, you're going to have the ear and the heart of God. Let me give you something else. Number two, praying Psalms 143. First of all, it's a prayer based on God's faithfulness and mercy. Number two, and I think this is very, very, very important. Look at verse number three. Verse number three is pivotal. If you're going to pray this prayer, you must approach God based on His faithfulness and mercy, and you must have a proper identification of the enemy. A proper identification of the enemy. Verse number three. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Now if we review the symptoms that we see in David when he was being overwhelmed, one of them was the belief that everyone is against us, that everyone hates us. David said that they all hate me. And one of the things that God wants to teach us, and one of the reasons He allows us to be overwhelmed, is so that we spend some time understanding who the enemy is. Listen, folks, nobody puts you in darkness. There's one prince of darkness. There's one that has the ability to do this, has been allowed to do this, and it's not your wife, and it's not your husband, it's not another church member, and it's not the pastor. It's Satan. I believe that so many people get stuck in this darkness because they want to blame everybody, and they, you know, Satan must love this. He must love getting us down and then convincing us that the reason that we're going through this is because of God. The reason, and we ought to be mad at God and we ought to blame God. The reason we're going through this is because of somebody else. No, I believe we must properly identify the enemy. Now, hold your place there in Psalm 143, and let's go over to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Well, I want to get this into your heart. I want to help you. And for some of us, I'm going to tell you, I will tell you this, when this light came on in my life, it absolutely changed. It changed something fundamental in my viewpoint. But folks, listen to me. We have an enemy, and it's not each other. We have an enemy, and it's not even the lost. What does Ephesians chapter 6 say in verse number 10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now notice that word wiles, the trickery of the devil. Now, so that we understand and properly identify who is always behind mischief, who is always behind heartache, who is always behind darkness, this verse follows, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God. What he's saying is this. The battles you will fight and the battles I will fight are spiritual battles. We have God on our side and He is light. We have an enemy called Satan and he is dark. He is darkness. If you are overwhelmed by darkness, it is because Satan is behind and orchestrating that attack. Now, that's what you've got to focus on. I mean, Satan loves to get a husband believing the wife is the enemy and a wife believing the husband's an enemy. Children believing the parents are enemy and parents believing the children are the enemy. Church members believe in the preacher's enemy, and preachers believe in the church people are an enemy, when the devil's behind the whole thing laughing his head off. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. My battle's not against you or anybody else. My battle's not even against the homosexuals. It's against Satan. It's not against the abortionists. It's against Satan. It honestly is. This is spiritual warfare that we're involved in. And we've got to understand that. We have to properly identify the enemy. Now, I'm going to say this. When you read the psalm, have you ever read the psalm and thought, wow, and read some of the things that David prayed down upon his enemies? Now, I'm going to say one of two things. I think one or two things are true. Number one, David knew who the enemy was, and we're misreading every account, because every time we hear him praying against the enemy, we think of whoever, whatever man is against him. I want you to read the Psalms. Every time you hear David pray down judgment upon the enemy, I want you to say, the devil. Or, let me just say this, number two, it's possible that David just prayed down vengeance on people. But listen, folks, could you be merciful? He didn't have Ephesians chapter 6. And that which is perfect is come. And we don't have the excuse if David did, if that's what he did. Folks, listen to me. I wish I could get half of the church members in America as mad as the devil, mad at the devil as they are at each other. No, really. Will you stop letting him off the hook? Will you start directing all of your prayers against him and not against each other? I mean, there's pastors that can have a revival if they've figured out that the people aren't against them, it's the devil that's against them. And this could help us. Man, this could help us. So there has to, at some point in the process, there has to be And a proper identification, because folks, when we get overwhelmed in darkness, we begin to turn against people, sometimes the very people that are trying the hardest to help us. And we get this crazy viewpoint that everybody's against us. Teenager, listen to me. I pray that you'd listen to me. And it's going to happen to you sometime in your youth. It's going to happen to you sometime in your teenage years. Devil's going to constantly try to sell you the bill of goods that the very people that care the most about you are your enemies. The devil tries to destroy the relationship between teenagers and their parents. Your parents are not your enemy. The devil's your enemy. And if the devil can convince you that your parents are the enemy, you know what? He's got you. He's got you. Every time that thought comes in your mind, you ought to say, you dirty rascal, you dirty devil. I know where that thought came from. It didn't come from me. It came from you. My mom loves me. My dad loves me. And they want the best for me. And get out of here. They're not the enemy. You're the enemy. Man, I'm going to tell you what. You come to that day and you know what? You'll probably be all right through the rest of your teenage years. Preachers preaching the Word of God, doing what He's called to do, preaching the Bible straight, and the devil sat on a church member's shoulder and said, you know what, he just don't like you. He's never liked you. He doesn't like you, and he doesn't like your wife. And he really, really doesn't like your children. Matter of fact, look at him. He don't seem to like anybody. Man, I lie. And you know what? Why don't you address that right there? Why don't you say, let me tell you something. My preacher's not the enemy. You're the enemy, devil. That thought didn't come from me. That thought came from you. And there's somebody that loves me and cares enough about me to preach the Bible straight. Now get out of here, devil. You're the one that I'm going to be fighting against. You're the one that's causing this darkness to come. We've got to be more wise in this area, not let Satan manipulate us in this area. So Psalm 143, we got to get back there. Let's keep plowing forward, all right? Number one, it's a prayer based on God's faithfulness and mercy. Number two, it's a process of properly identifying an enemy, the correct enemy. Number three, let me show you verse number four. And when you pray this prayer, I love the fact that David made a statement in this prayer. I call it a statement of complete honesty. Now when you get to verse number 4, David is very transparent. He's very honest with God. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. Now remember, this is not something he's telling some other person. This is something that he is stating to God. Can I say this? When you are being overwhelmed, when you're going through a time of a dark day or a dark time period in your life, you need to be very honest with God. Be very honest with God. I believe that as you begin to tell God, you say, well, Brother Derek, God knows what I'm going through. He wants to hear you say it. He wants you to understand where you're at. God, I'm hurt. God, I can't figure out which way to go. God, I'm confused. God, I'm overwhelmed. God, I feel like quitting. God, I'm sick in my heart and I'm sick in my body. God, I'm in darkness. I'm lost. Where are you? You know, when you read David, he's very honest with God. He says, I'm here, God, and this is what I'm feeling, and I need help. You say, well, why is it important if God knows this to verbalize it? It's important because you need to recognize, and I need to recognize where we're at during these times. How we doing? How you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Liar. Now, you might want to say that to somebody else, but listen. When God says, how you doing, He wants to hear an honest answer. He wants to hear an honest answer. God, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm confused. I'll be honest with you. God, I'm hurt. I'll be honest with you. God, I'm not right. I'm not right. God, I'm broken. Something's wrong. I'm broken. And so, in this prayer, there's a statement of complete honesty. Now, if you'll take step 1, 2, and 3, it'll prepare you. And if we'll pray it in that and follow those that little formula, it prepares you for the rest of the prayer. Now, look in verse number 5. Not only is this a prayer based on God's faithfulness and mercy, and a process of properly identifying the enemy and getting to the point where we can make a statement of complete honesty and transparency to God concerning where we're at and what we're feeling. But number 5, this prayer is important because it encourages us to take a time, to have a time of remembrance. So the next ingredient I see in this prayer is a time of remembrance. Look at verse number 5. Now David is the reason I use the word prayer kind of sacredly, because I believe prayer is asking. There are some things that David asked during these verses, but there's also some things that he just does in the presence of God. And in verse number 5, do you see any request at all? Is that technically a prayer? Does he ask God for anything? See, this isn't a prayer time. This is a time of remembrance, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Now, let me just tell you, this is so, so, so vitally important. When you're overwhelmed, when you're confused, when you're in darkness, when you can't, I mean, you don't know which way to turn next. Let me say this. If you've been saved for any length of time, you have in your heart, in your memory banks, you have evidence that God is God. Now, this prayer, I don't believe Psalm 143 should be prayed in 60 seconds. I don't think it should. I'm going to point out that in just a minute. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. I mentioned this morning, when you're being overwhelmed and you get before God and you begin to pour out your complaint, and that's the phrase David used. I pour out my complaint. When you begin to pour out your complaint, at some point, while you're in the presence of God, you need to say, God, help me remember. Help me meditate. Help me muse. I mentioned this morning, a lot of times, what God does in my life is He takes me all the way back to the beginning at my salvation experience. And I will meditate. I will remember when God saved my soul. And then I'll open my heart and ask the Holy Spirit to bring remembrances of the mighty workings of God that He's allowed me to see in my life. And it's not always the same list. It's amazing sometimes during this time what God will cause you to remember that you need to remember at that time. I mean, I've been blessed and you have too. God's answered prayers, God's provided needs, God's interceded, God's protected, God's watched over you. There's been mountaintops. Your life hasn't been one long valley. And there needs to be, in the midst of this time of being overwhelmed, where we tend to doubt God, there needs to be a time where we just go back and say, God, look at what you've done. And look at what you did. And look what you did here. And look what you've done there. And Lord, I remember when we were there and there wasn't an answer. But God, you brought the answer. And I remember when I got to this point and I didn't think I could go on. But you know what? You gave me the strength to go on. And I remember getting to this and I said, I can't face it. Yet you gave me the strength to face it. And you go through this. And folks, that process builds a person's faith. This is why I think we need to learn to pray Psalm 143. Let's look at the next verse because I'm wanting to get to Selah. He says this. It's a time of remembrance and a time, and I'm not going to cover this because we spent 5 or 6 Sunday school lessons on it, but this then becomes a time of seeking God's face. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And then this little statement, Selah. And you know what that is? That just means to pause. This is why I think that a lot of our prayer time, a lot of our walking with God, a lot of the times we spend at the throne of grace, there ought to be times where we are talking and there ought to be times when we are quiet. I mean, there's things we are instructed to ask for, there's things we're instructed to say, and then let's stop and let's meditate and let's muse and let's remember. And let's seek the face of God. And then the Bible word for Selah means just simply to pause, to quiet, to let God affirm the truth that He's trying to get to you. Just open your heart to God and be quiet and let Him say some things to you. God wants to minister to Him. Brother Joe, you don't understand. What you're talking about takes time. Amen! Let's have some time for God. But you don't understand. I've scheduled my devotions and I've got 6.3 minutes in the morning to read my Bible and go through my prayer list. Well, that's probably why you're overwhelmed. Yeah, but this and this and this. Forget this and this and this. You're not going to have the strength to do this and this and this. You're going to be out of church if you're not careful. Get to God! Get to God! Get to God. We talk about Him being the great physician, then we swear we can't be healed. We say God can do everything, and then we say, except, fix this one thing in my life. How dare you level that accusation against God? Shame on you. It's not God that's limited. It's you limiting what you'll allow Him to do. Get before Him. Get before Him and let Him minister a time of seeking God's face. Now we're going to get to a specific request. That's the next ingredient in this psalm, verse number 7. He says this, hear me speedily. Now he's asking God to hear him because he's going to ask Him for something. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Here's the request. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be likened to them that go down into the pit. And the request when you're being overwhelmed, the request is this. Help me. Help me. Help me. And then just get quiet and let God help you. Help me. God, if I don't get a touch, if I don't get some help, I'm going to be like those that go down into the pit. You know what he's saying? And my life will be mean nothing more than someone who's already gone to hell. I'm there. Help me. Do it speedily. I need it now. Help me. So we see then number 6, a specific request. Now, Have you prayed that? Brother Jerry, I need help. Pastor Ross, I need help. Could you call the prayer chain and ask everybody to know that I need help? Would you just go to God and ask for help? I'll join you in prayer, but have you done it? I need help. Folks, listen to me. I'm trying hard. You know what my heart's desire this year has been above probably anything else? Is to challenge, and I'm not saying we don't have people that do that. I believe with all my heart people in this church live this way, and I'm also convinced there's people in this church that's never visited what I'm talking about. But when you ask God for help in this format, you know what you get? Help. You do. It doesn't mean God waves the magic wand and all your problems go away. But you, in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit, you get ministered to by God. There is no reason to burn out. There is no reason to quit. There is no reason to run. There's not a reason in the world to forsake God. God has what you need. He just wants you to get to the point where you'll humble yourself before Him and say, help. Help me. Help me. There's the specific request. Number 7, I like this prayer request. A prayer for renewed fellowship. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. Here is David just saying, God, I want it to be the way it was before the darkness came. I want the Bible to mean something again. I want prayer to mean something again. I want to feel Your presence like I have in the past. I just want renewed fellowship. And God comes to you during those times and gives you those things. Look in verse number 8 again, and I'm going to marry this with what's in verse number 10. He says in verse number 8, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Verse number 10, teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. A prayer for renewed fellowship. A prayer for divine direction. Because when you are being overwhelmed, the honest truth is you don't know where to go. God, show me where to go. Light the path. Get me started in the right direction. Here's a good one. Help me just to know what to do next. I don't need to see to the very end of the path. Just help me know what to do next. And folks, I know that He does. Because I've been here in my life time and time and time and time and time again. And God does not come to a child. Now listen, if you're arrogant and you're proud and you don't want to be broken and you don't want to do God's will and you like darkness rather than light, you're not going to get to this. But it's available and it's there, and I've never been there where I didn't say, God, I don't know what to do. I just need to know where to go next, what to do next. Where the Holy Spirit of God didn't say, okay, do this. Do this. And I'll tell you right now, whether it makes sense, where it don't make sense, whether I understand it, whether I don't understand it, I do that. And when God sees you do that, then He'll come and say, okay, now do this. Now do this. Now do this. Now do this. Now you listen to me. He's going to take you one step at a time out of the darkness into the light. But you know what He's done? He's got you to a point where you're saying and living the way we ought to live every single day of our lives, but we don't. God, what's next? Do this. Okay, I'll do it. What's next, God? Do this. Okay, I'll do it. What's next, Lord? Do this. Okay, I'll do it. And that's why He allowed you to go there in the first place. And can I share something with you that would be some wonderful advice? When you break out into the light, just go ahead and look up to God and say,
what do you want me to do next? And then do it. And then say, what do you want me to do next? And then do it. God, what do you want me to do next? And then do it. What do you want me to do next? And do it. But what happens is we get delivered and God shows Himself strong. Boy, we're like Israel, aren't we? And we get out of the darkness into the light. And we're in the light for a while and pretty soon we're off doing our own thing. And God says, you know what, I'm probably going to have to open the hedge up again because they need to relearn some things that they're only going to learn when they're overwhelmed. So we see a prayer for renewed fellowship, a prayer for direction, verse 9 and 12, a prayer for deliverance. I think all of these things correspond with each other. Verse number 11, a prayer for personal revival. That little word there, that little phrase, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, is talking about revival. Quicken means to bring back to life. Quicken means to give me spiritual life and energy again. And folks, listen to me. I don't know what God's asked you to go through, but if you'll go through it with Him and learn what you need to learn when He allows you to be overwhelmed, you will come out of it a better Christian, a brighter light. You will know more about God's grace and God's mercy. You'll be better prepared to help and to lift up the brethren. God will use you in ways He's never used you before if you'll just let Him take you through the darkness to the light. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Very last of all, if you look on the verse, last verse here, this opens up to a whole different subject that we'll pursue at some later time. But at the very end of this prayer, we see complete surrender. And of Thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. And then underline these last five words, for I am Thy servant. Woo! I wonder if that's not the reason that the whole thing started in the first place. Do you understand the significance of the servant? Do you understand the significance of the servant? Of the servant-master relationship? Do you understand that? He got us to the point where we said, God, I'm just Your servant. Lord, I'm just here to do whatever. Pay attention to me. Well, the devil likes to do things to... I mean, the most important part of the sermon, and some of you are looking at a word about a cell phone and listening to what the Holy Spirit's giving you right now. Those things are going to happen. We all forget at times. But don't let the Satan steal what we've spent a whole hour and 10 minutes getting to. I mean, 40 minutes getting to. Man, you don't want to say that from the pulpit. I am Thy servant. People that are broken and people that go through this and are overwhelmed to come out of it, you know what? They spend their lives serving God. And I'm going to give you some things next Sunday morning that will absolutely change your life. Absolutely change your life. I'm going to tell you why some folks are fickle and some folks are faithful. I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell you what it all depends on. How you react when God allows you to be overwhelmed. How you react. Can I say this? I am a servant of God. No ifs, no strings attached, no list of criteria that God's got to live up to or I'm signing off, no circumstances to change that. In life, in death, in prosperity, in wantonness. When I'm being blessed, when it seems like I'm being cursed. When it seems to be working, when nothing's working. You know why? Because I've gone through the times of being overwhelmed. And I will probably have to go through them again and again and again. And that's okay because if it deepens my commitment to serve God for the rest of my life, then I pray for it. And so should you. Heavenly Father, thank You for the time we've had. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to commit to our hearts the 143rd Psalm, that we would learn to get on our knees, lift up our hands to heaven, and say these blessed words, and let them flow from our heart and flow from our soul, straight to the ears of Almighty God. Lord, I pray for those that may be even tonight in the darkness. I pray for those that may be fine, but Lord, right around the corner there awaits a time of testing. God, I pray that you'd help us. Use the Scriptures. Help us to become everything that you want us to be for you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.